fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. That's right. You're hearing my voice, so you know it's Thursday night, 8 p.m. Set your watches. And thank you for listening. You're right where you should be at 8 p.m. every Thursday night, whether you're streaming at FMTalk1065.com, where we turn up your voice, or listening on TuneIn Radio, or just on the clock radio next to your bed as you recline in your quarantine at your house because whatever's happened to you. But we're glad that you're with us because Common Sense Radio, that's where you got to go. Get through the fake news. Find out what social media has censored all week and won't let you know about all the propaganda. You're here at Common Sense Radio. And every week, I know you're amazed that we are still on the air. It shocks us, actually, every week that we're still on the air. And it is really due to one thing, the incredible a tactical ability of our award-winning engineer in evasive maneuvers of the FCC. They have been unable to locate us for going on 9 years now. And that's because we have the master of deception when it comes to broadcasting electrons to you. And so thank God for our award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer Mark Holliday, and his incredibly astute evasive maneuvers, outwitting the FCC at every turn, Mark Holliday.
Thank you. Appreciate those kind words, Pete, using that VPN for send the electrons someplace else. Bounce them all over the
place. Bounce them all over. They can't find us. They don't know. They still don't know where we're at. So thank you, Mark, for protecting us and our electrons every week and getting so we can get this message out. This voice of freedom can still get out. And as you know, as you may have noted already, we are a tad unruly. Woo-hoo. Because we are unsupervised. I regret to report that our director of quality assurance, Teresa Taylor, is out on assignment. We hope she will return next week. Of course, that's secret. Nobody knows where that is either, but she's on assignment, and we hope she'll be back next week. But listeners, you're on your own because Mark and I are left to our devices without adult supervision.
That's dangerous.
Very dangerous. Very dangerous for everyone, everyone out there. So, you know, the big theme I've been thinking about for tonight.
Yeah.
Everything is election year politics.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you see all this crap in the news, and it doesn't matter whether they're talking about rioting or the pandemic or if the schools are going to open or not open or anything. Hurricanes.
Tropical disturbances in the Atlantic.
Everything is twisted into election year politics, trying to set the stage for November 3rd. Everything. And let's take the pandemic.
Okay.
Isn't it interesting? We were told, in late March, we've got a lockdown for 2 weeks to slow the spread because we don't want to overwhelm the system.
Right.
Well, we're almost 5 months later? 4+ 5 months later?
Right.
And we're still talking about locking down more. We still have 50% capacity restrictions in stores and restaurants and stuff like that. People have really reduced their travel. All large events are canceled.
Right.
I mean, you can't even have a funeral unless you're a Democrat. You can have a funeral then.
Right.
But other people cannot have funerals or exactly. Weddings or gather in groups. I mean, all of that's been shut down. And really, since they put the mandatory masking, I've seen masking go from about 20% to probably 80-90%.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go in the stores, pretty much everybody's masked.
Yeah.
And people are doing it. And it doesn't seem to matter. Does it? I mean, here we are. We're seeing about the same rates of infections. I'm seeing this email from the mayor every night. And the one he sent out last night he could have sent out in April.
Yeah, yeah.
So my point is, it doesn't seem to matter what we do. And don't get me wrong, because COVID is very real.
Yep.
I mean, it's a nasty little disease. Now, I think we're still finding that, 99.8% of the people are still going to recover from it.
Right.
But it's very nasty for those that do. But we have to sit here and question, well, you got to realize that it's so infused with politics, you don't really know what's true.
And exactly. And you brought that point up, and that's the problem. We've been given misinformation and outright lied to.
Yep.
From the very beginning by those people that should be apolitical and should be, giving us the real story.
Right.
To the point, and everybody else that is political and
right.
spinning it for their own purposes, to the point that we don't know, we don't have any confidence. We don't trust anything.
How can you?
That we hear, and anybody that says, masks work, and if we did it for 6 to 8 weeks, if everybody did it for 6 to 8 weeks, it would be over and it would be done. But yet you can go on the CDC site and down there, somewhere down towards the bottom, it says, wearing a mask or not wearing a mask really doesn't do any good.
And we're seeing that in the numbers every day.
So you don't know way to go and who to believe or what to believe.
And they told us in the beginning for the first, 30 to 60 days, don't wear a mask. Don't worry about the mask.
Right.
Just do your social distancing, blah, blah, blah. Now, you got to have the mask. I mean, it's pretty obvious this was all to tank the economy.
Well,
I mean, that's really what it was. And it did. And we did the shutdown. And, and people are talking about shutting down again. It's like, no. What we need to do is protect the vulnerable, mm-hmm. protect them better than we've been doing. But shutting down, it's all election. And you can't have confidence because, and I'll give you a perfect example. I have a sister-in-law in Louisiana who was feeling poorly just 2-3 weeks ago. Went down there and was going to get tested and get some stuff at the urgent care, signed up, and she's waiting for like an hour and a half. And still, mm-hmm. they don't know. So she left. Never got tested, never got seen.
Right.
Just signed in. And I know this fact. This is my sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
They called her the next day and said, your test is positive. You need to quarantine for 14 days.
Right.
What? I didn't take the test. So I know that's an anecdotal, but that's firsthand knowledge. I know that person, and I know that's true.
But that's not the only anecdotal evidence that we've heard on that particular issue.
And I can point to one personally. So how many more are there?
Exactly.
And now they're starting to seep out. People are admitting, if you were 90 years old with heart disease and COPD and you we didn't know how long you're going to last and you got some COVID and you died anyway. Well, yeah. Yep. Because I saw somebody did a video comparing, that when the year's over and they shake it out, they may find out that a lot of these people were dying anyway.
Right.
So you have no confidence in how many people actually died from this. Now we don't have any confidence in how many people actually have it. But now I know people have it because I know people who have it and are quarantined right now. And actually, it's been crazy. I mean, I've known probably 5 people in the last 3 weeks that got it.
Yeah. And I would venture to say that almost anybody listening knows somebody or knows one degree removed of somebody
right.
who has contracted and tested positive for COVID.
Now, here's the other political part of that. So, hydroxychloroquine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a drug. It's an anti-malarial drug that's 70-something years old.
Right.
I mean, they gave it to all the troops in Vietnam as a prophylactic, not to go into town, folks. It was a preventative.
And in Korea.
And in Korea, they gave it, so people were taking it. It's very commonly known, I guess, like every drug. I mean, if you watch the drug advertisements at the end, they list all their side effects.
Yeah, I can't take any of them.
Well, why would you take any of them?
I'm not going to take any of them.
We're not listening to it. But anyway, so hydroxychloroquine, okay. So there's a debate. Does it work? Doesn't it work? Now, I've seen a lot of people get on TV and say, yeah, I took it and it saved my life. Like that Democrat state senator from Michigan who got in trouble because she thanked the president and all that.
Right.
Well, the reason I'm bringing it up, I know somebody who's having a little bit of a hard time with the COVID, cannot get hydroxychloroquine.
Wow.
Has asked six doctors and they have all refused. And they said, look, the CDC is saying that we shouldn't do it. And we're very apprehensive because they're actually threatening our licenses.
But here's the question you have to ask now, and it goes back to the Fauci mask, you know, brouhaha. Why is the reason they're saying not to prescribe it? Is it because it doesn't work, or is it because that would create a shortage for those people with lupus and other illnesses that it is being prescribed for on a regular basis?
It's like really cheap, and my understanding, there's lots of it. It's cheap. They can make lots of it. To me, it's totally political because they're threatening the doctor's license, because I'm sitting here thinking, if I got it, I'm getting it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's going to work. I don't know for sure. I think it might work, but I'm getting it. I don't care if I have to go to the black market. I am going to get that stuff. And that actually scares me. Six doctors said, no. So I'm and I'm fearful for my friend, because I'm like, so what? They're going to wait till you're in the hospital and they're go right before they put you on the ventilator, go, well,
maybe we'll try it now.
Yeah. What? If you're sick, you're willing to take the risk, why can you not take the risk? The politics in your health care,
this should scare
everybody to death. You want universal health care? You want the government deciding what you can and can't have? We're seeing that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
That should scare you. All right, we got lines open, and get your text at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, we're back at Common Sense Radio, and during the break, we had a caller call in, didn't want to get on the air, but 72-year-old Vietnam veteran who attested for 14 and a half months while he was in Vietnam. He took it twice a day, and he had no ill effects, and that's what they did, that you took it. And he's known some people, and he said he did some of the math, and I've seen it. We posted this on our Facebook page. Unfortunately, it didn't get censored, but it was there. But there's not that many people in the state that actually have it.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's like a percent maybe in the whole world, a percent. A lot even, it's less than a percent, and we're trying to shut everything down around. Well, the rest of the world is starting to move on. Schools are open in Europe, okay?
Yeah.
They're doing that. They're moving on. It's only because we have a presidential election.
Exactly.
That we're, oh no, we can't do that. I mean, it's like you got teachers unions all over. LA Teachers Union, North Carolina Teachers Union. L.A. meaning not Lower Alabama, Los Angeles.
Yeah, right.
And there was at least one other one. I can't think of it. It might have been Chicago. Anyway, there's at least three of them that I read about that said, we're not coming back to work until there's universal health care and you defund the police. Now.
Whoa.
Now, what does that have to do with education and the pandemic?
You know. It's reminiscent to one degree when I remember way back when in the 80s when the air traffic controllers went on strike.
Yep, I remember.
Federal employees, and they were striking for I don't know what, wages, benefits, whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
And instead of the negotiators on the government side wringing their hands and saying, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? The president stepped up and said, you're fired.
Yes.
And it wasn't Trump.
That's right. It was President Reagan. He said, this is safety for the whole country. Your federal employees. No, you can't do this.
Yeah. You're fired.
You're fired.
And now go out and, you know, whoever my minions are, go out and find somebody and hire some new traffic controllers.
Yep. No, and that's the way you do. this is just is crazy because you can find doctors that will prescribe you all sorts of pain medications, but you can't find one because of the politics. That's what, and that goes back to the teacher union thing. What does that have to do with the pandemic? What does that have to do with education?
Yeah.
So think, who controls the teachers union?
The Democratic Party.
Democrats. Yeah. The Democrat Party controls them. So what are they trying to do? Hurt President Trump.
Sure. Absolutely.
So the union, the teachers union, doing the bidding, going, yep, we'll do our part. We're not going to go back to work. And all this is to so that by November 3rd, what they're trying to do is have so much chaos, so much turmoil. Your kids aren't in school. You can't go back to work. You can't go to the restaurants. You still got to wear a mask. There's people burning your cities down. They're trying to set that stage. All of this is politics. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely crazy. Let's switch gears over to the Democrat presidential nominee, who's wandered out of his bunker a couple of times, and it hadn't gone very well.
No.
You heard they're not going to let him go to Milwaukee to accept in person.
I had heard that, yes.
Well, I mean, because obviously they don't trust him to be out there among a bunch of people by himself, so it's probably going to be very, very tightly controlled Zoom meeting.
Right.
Or whatever it's going to be. So it's crazy. And then now they're writing, why should we have debates? We really shouldn't pick presidents based on debates. We shouldn't have. What? Did you see that? New York Times, somebody wrote that, and there's some others.
I didn't see it, but it really doesn't surprise me.
No, they're trying to study the narrative.
Because why would they want this?
Because he can't.
Mental pygmy.
He can't. The poor man's got a problem. He cannot debate. So now they're talking about. Now, Biden's just, I'm going to debate. I can't wait to see that guy. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to debate him. I know I can beat George W. Bush in a debate. I mean, who's that guy? The orange one. The other, you know, he doesn't know he's talking to.
Right, right.
But isn't it amazing? They're saying, no, debates don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It was just crazy. Mm-hmm. Now, so here's the other question. There's all of this hoopla about the vice presidential pick.
Right, yeah.
And have you noticed who they're talking about on the list?
Well, I know Kamala Harris is one of them.
She's one of them. Karen Bass.
I think
the mayor of Atlanta, Susan Rice.
Rice. It was like, wow, why are you digging up that old chestnut?
Well, I have a theory on all of that.
Okay.
So it strikes me. A year ago, there were 30-something Democrats vying for the presidential nomination.
Mm-hmm.
And after a year of vetting and primaries and endless debates on CNN and MSNBC that just wouldn't go away, they're all gone except for Kamala Harris.
Right.
Or Kamala, however she says
however
it.
However she wants to say it. It's
Kay Harris.
Way.
Yep. However she says it. She's the only. How is it that all of these people, except save one, are not in consideration for the vice president? They're all gone. And you picked the only guy who is incompetent, incapable at this point.
Right, right.
He's almost incapacitated.
Totally, exactly. And I mean, you know, I really kind of feel bad for the family.
Yes.
The Biden family, because, you know, the illness.
They should be protecting him.
Exactly.
It's like elder abuse.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, he's trying to go left and basically become, as he said, I'm going to be the most progressive candidate ever, presidential, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there watching going, well, you know there's another almost octogenarian who actually is the most progressive presidential candidate, and he actually still has his faculties and can be cogent. So why don't you just let him be the why are you trying to make Biden into Bernie?
Right, right.
And, oh, by the way, what happened to Bernie?
Where is Bernie?
Where's Bernie? How did he get so quiet in the last 3 months? The only time he's mentioned is, well, Biden's pretty much adopted his economic plan, you know, platform and all this.
Yeah.
Why not pull him? So back to the vice president. So what strikes me, these are basically no-name people. I think Kamala Harris is only still in it because Willie Brown is winking at Biden going, it's a good deal, dude. You should put her on the ticket.
Yeah.
Right. But other than that, I don't know why she's on there. And the others are just no names. Nobody, Karen Bass, nobody, we know, but most people don't know who she is. It's, you know, communist loving, Fidel praising communist right. congresswoman from California. They don't.
And here's another thing. Politically, normally when you pick a vice presidential candidate, you pick somebody from a state that might be marginal or something that you want to bring in
votes,
the votes.
Help
Look,
you.
Let's be honest. California is not going to come into the camp for Trump.
So you don't need anybody from California. So that's my point. The vice presidential pick right now has nothing to do with the actual electoral politics or how it enhances the ticket or the qualifications. And I think right now the most likely vice presidential pick is Susan Rice.
Susan Rice.
And you know why?
Why is that?
Because Susan Rice is a proven liar and loyal soldier to the Obama administration, the Obamas.
Yeah.
So they know they get Susan in there. If Biden gets in there, they know they've got a girl on the inside.
Six months after, he's going to have to resign because he won't remember where he's at.
Right. And so they know Susan Rice will do what she's told. She will tell whatever lie needs to be told. Mm-hmm. She's total loyalty. So this is all about the loyalty to the Obamas.
Right.
That's why I think Susan, not because she brings anything electorally or she enhances the ticket. This is all because that's the one they can control who
makes
will
sense.
Be loyal.
Makes
that's
sense.
The one that makes the most sense to me. All right. If you feel differently about it or have a better idea or just want to tell me I'm full of it, which I have a lot of people that do that on a regular basis, give us a call or text at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And at the bottom of the hour, we bring aboard a special sponsor, ABC Signs and ABC Shirts. That's your headquarters for custom-made signs, banners, promotion materials, dry-fit shirts, whatever it is you need to enhance your business, your family reunion, your sports team, make the t-shirts for your employees or put little yard signs out. This home has been served by whatever you do to people's houses, whatever it is, they can do it. Or if you're a nut and you want to be a politician, they can make your political signs, whatever it is. Go to abcsigns.biz, B-I-Z, or abcshirts.biz, B-I-Z. And here they bring you wit and wisdom from our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
We're all here but one now, and he was here, but they just took him off stage. It's way past his bedtime. But let me just say first of all, this has been, well, there's never been a more humbling moment in my life. Not only humbled by the extent of what has happened tonight, even if it had been the cliffhanger that all of us, I think, were expecting, it would have been the same way, but just to have had the support of the people of this country. I consider the trust that you have placed in me sacred, and I give you my sacred oath that I will do my utmost to justify your faith.
All right. That is the election night victory speech by President Reagan, or President-elect Reagan, at that time on the 5th of November, 1980, almost 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked that one specifically because there was one little line in there where he said, I've been not only humbled by the extent of what was happened tonight, even if it had been the cliffhanger all of us were expecting.
Which it wasn't.
He won in a landslide. And I bring that up because all the polls and everybody said that Carter was going to win or it would be close.
Right.
And it wasn't even close. Mm-mm. He got like 480 or something to 50. It's like 489 to 49 on electoral votes. It was a landslide. Yeah. It was a huge win. And I picked that one to calm everybody about the coming election, that we're seeing some of the same things replay again. And that's this week's column as well. It's the column is Polls and Pyromania Are Burning Witch Party. Because they would have you believe
it's... Who is the witch party? Oh, you meant
witch party. Not the witch party. Witch party. and really, because, you know, they're saying, Biden's leading by double digits. And you're like, really? The guy can't put a sentence together, but, oh, he's leading by double digits.
And when he does put sentences together, it's kind of bigoted and racist.
Yeah, he does that, too. Yeah. So, you know, you can't let him go. So I put that one out there as a little bit of confidence. And the column really just talks about the fact that we're seeing a couple of things. One is the riots are not just... They're past all the Black Lives Matter stuff. This is only to try to damage Trump, and they're trying to do one thing. The Democrats cannot lose a substantial portion of the black vote, and they know they're losing the black vote. Because you'll notice every 4 years, racism all of a sudden is bad again. Remember, mm-hmm. Bill Clinton, if you don't vote for me, another black church is going to burn.
Yeah,
they've got to convince the black voters that conservatives, Republicans are hopelessly racist, and you, for your own safety, you have to vote Democrat. They've got to scare the people into, and that's why the riots are off the hook, because they know they're losing.
Right. Even though history and current events prove otherwise.
Plenty of history prove that. And the other thing about the polls always are against us, and the polls are trying to shape the outcome, and they're trying to always discourage the Republicans to thinking, mm-hmm. oh, wow, mm-hmm. we're losing. He's going to win. I'm going to tell you something. There's a difference. The polls this year, yeah, they want to discourage Republicans, but you know what they're really for? Is to keep Democrats from giving up.
Right.
Democrats, yep. They're ready to give up because they see what a bad hand they've got, what a mess they've got. Because they're going to be held accountable for a lot of these things. And I think these polls are to keep Democrats from giving up. Go, no, no, really, we're still in this.
Yeah, that could come back and probably will come back to bite them. Because when it appears to be such a landslide in your favor, a lot of people will have the tendency to, I don't know.
No, that, there's right. There's that.
I mean, it's like going to the general election in the state of Alabama. You know, the Republican is going to win.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm
pretty much.
That's the simplistic.
Right. You don't have to spend a whole lot of money on it, because that's where it's going.
The Republican's going to win.
Right. So, but that's what they're trying to keep them from not giving up, because they know. I bet. And the other thing about the trying to convince everybody that they're racists, the Republicans are racist. They're literally burning their own cities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now that's going to bite them too, because after the election, when Trump gets reelected, the mayor of Portland and Seattle and Chicago and New York, they have to deal with burnout cities.
Right.
Now, do you really think all the citizens of those cities are sitting there saying it's Trump's fault? I have a feeling we're going to see some pretty crazy municipal elections in those cities next time those mayors are up.
You may be right.
Because I would bet those people are going to hold those mayors
accountable. We always talk about, you know, politics is, you know, backyard.
It's local.
It's like, be aware of who you're putting into the mayors and
city councils. They're coming for you. Okay, look, we've got Johnny from Sims holding. Johnny, what do you got?
Oh, you guys were talking about Biden and the Democrats not wanting to debate, and it just made me think that when communism was first floated as an idea, it was debated endlessly. But in the debate, the idea wouldn't hold up under questioning.
Exactly.
There was not enough foundation to it to hold up under argument. So when they brought it back up the second time to what later became known as Marxism, they just basically said, we're not going to debate this anymore. Those are the people we want to tear down anyway. They're never going to agree with us. So we just won't debate it. We don't have to defend it if we don't debate it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same concept with Biden.
Yep.
The guy doesn't have all of his marbles at this point. And if he can't stand on a debate and hold himself together, they just choose not to put him up there at all.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what they're going to do. They're just say, look, we accept this as gospel. Communism is good. Marxism is good. Don't question it. And Biden is competent. Don't question it. Just go.
I mean, every time they let him out of his cave, he says something. You know, the last thing was what? 300,000 people in America, 150 from gun violence, and another 120 million dead from coronavirus. That only leaves us about 30 million people left in the country.
That's right. Exactly. Well, it should be a lot easier to do the polling then.
Isn't that crazy? But they're saying that the census is falling short. Well, if we only have 30 million left, it just didn't take that long to count them.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Now, Johnny, good points. We appreciate you calling in and listening from Sims. Let's go to Scott in Foley. Scott, what do you got for us?
Well, I think the Democrat base needs to be charged up. Would not be surprised to see Michelle Obama being chosen. That'll energize the Democratic base.
You know, I agree, kind of, and I'm quivering here on this or equivocating on this because I think a couple of things. One. I think she will get the base, the Democrat base will get very, very excited, but I don't know if it would go beyond that. Because we already did the Obama thing, and it wasn't that great. And she does not have his personality and charisma, so I don't know that she would have much more excitement beyond actual diehard Democrats. And the other thing is, I have to wonder, she's looking at this going, wait a minute. This is a big mess. It's going to be a nasty, dirty fight, and we know Trump is poised to win. I kind of think she's looking and going, no, I ain't doing this dirty work.
I'll wait.
You call me in 24 when I can just walk in. That's kind of the take. But I don't disagree with you. Democrats would be ecstatic and maybe rejuvenated and re-energized if she came out. But they're not talking about her right now. But maybe that's because they're trying to keep it super, super secret, and they'll just surprise us all here in a week or so in Milwaukee. So,
well, they're not doing much to energize their base on the national level. There's nobody, I don't hear anybody really excited about Joe Biden. It's just anti-Trump.
Right, no, that's all they have. That's one of the problems. And Americans don't typically vote against things. They vote for things.
For something, yep.
Right. Yeah. And so when you got Biden out there who can't make a sentence, but when he does make a sentence, he says, well, I'm going to raise your taxes. or you ain't black if you don't vote for me. Yeah, he's not resonating very much. He's pretty much insulting people and scaring people. So, yeah, I think and that goes back to my column, I think they're in full panic mode. They know they're losing, but I've got another theory on that, which will be next week's column, but we won't get to that tonight. So that's okay. Next week's column. But Scott calling in from Foley, thank you very much. Appreciate you calling and listening. All right. How much time we got?
We're just about ready for a break. We've got a couple of people on hold. Hold on. We'll get to you on the other side.
We'll get on the other side. I did want to mention about the protests, right? You know, the darn riots are still dragging on, particularly in Portland. Every night they're going and burning stuff. I mean, it's getting pretty tedious. They've done millions upon millions of damage in Portland. I think the number's approaching a billion in Minneapolis. But you know what's interesting? Because all those people burning and looting, and there's very few arrests.
Yeah.
Did you see last week there were pro-life protesters went to Planned Parenthood and wrote in chalk on the sidewalk, unborn Black Lives Matter,
and they got arrested.
Six squad cars came and pulled up and arrested these really meek, mild, nerdy-looking pro-life people. Sorry, but they were kind of nerdy-looking.
Right.
God bless them for what they were doing. They arrested the pro-life people for writing in chalk. But if you're BLM and you torch a target, that's okay. Without a mask. Incredible. Look, we get to your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, and we're talking about vice presidents and COVID and all sorts of stuff. Real quick, I want to get out. They are still working on another bailout. They are working, trying to compromise on how to continue the unemployment benefits, which expired a week ago on the 31st. And they're actually talking about another $1,200 check, which I'm like, my gosh, how much money can you print? But I guess once you start printing money, you just can't stop. That's kind of crazy.
Yep.
And then the other thing, because we're talking about the cities being burned out, they're going to have a huge... They're looking for bailouts because they've got so much to repair. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if you saw it, but Governor Cuomo is begging the rich people to come back to New York
because
so many of them have left.
Exactly.
Because they know that they're going to have to really hike taxes to fix all the stuff the Democrats burned and tore down.
Yep.
Anyway, keep that. We got a bunch of callers. Let's go. We got LD, the mad trucker on line one. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. I just want to say that I don't think it's fair that Joe Biden is being attacked. Like, the man is of declining years. He is not capable of running the presidency. Everyone can see that. And I think that the Democrat Party is committing elderly abuse by posting this guy up here as a moderate just so that they can get back into office, because you know he cannot run this country. He can't even run his own household.
No.
So it's just really sad that they would abuse an older gentleman like that who is technically not there anymore. It's sickening.
His family should be protecting him. It's sad that they're doing that. That is very, very sad. But hey, you know, the Democrats are pretty ruthless when it comes to, you know, seeking power.
Yep.
But again, he's the empty vessel for what they want to do. Okay, let's go to line three, Kevin in Mobile.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, listen, poor little Biden, he'd have trouble running bathwater right now. It's really sad. Our Republican brothers and sisters right there, and I reach out there. I had a debate the other day with a young man. He was a younger black man, and he was trying to implore how the Republican Party was just for rich old white people. I said, well, I'm an old white guy, and I said, but I tell you what, I invite everybody to come to the Republican side here. Because I said, son, I said, your party, as you see, has left you a long time ago. I said, it's not the Democrats of the Kennedys and the Trumans and things like that. I said, it's a bunch of wackadoodles out there. I said, you need to come over here, you're a hardworking young man. And he actually sat down and listened. So I implore everybody, get out and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
The silent majority has got to wake up here. And we've got a fight on our hands. We've got to fight to save our nation. And I tell people, I said, our nation, we're a hodgepodge of everything here to make this country great as it is right there. You know, as you know, in the military right there, who's ever got your six? You don't care if they're black, white, pink, green, purple right there. You want somebody that's got your back. And that's what we've got to do now. We've got to look out for all American citizens. We all matter. And this is the greatest vote that we will ever have, because this could crush our sovereign nation. If these crazy people get in Washington, we're gone. We are gone. We have got to get out and rock the boat here and let people know that stand behind Donald Trump here, stand behind our Republican Party, invite everybody over to get a job, get out and vote, take care of your family.
Be prosperous.
And every life matters right there. Those abortion clinics, we need to put them out of business right there, because that's potential voters.
Yeah,
voters. I tell these people, I said, if you're a Democrat and you're allowing these abortion clinics out there, you're killing potential voters.
Yes,
you've got to think long range here. So we have got to get out and get our base going from a grassroots effort here, you know, local, state, and nationwide, to get President Trump back in office, shore up, get these crazy wackadoodle Democrats out of there, and get our country back going again here. Because this right here is the most important vote that we will ever have in our life.
Kevin, you're hitting a really, really important part of this. I think Trump is strong and would win, but everybody's got to vote. This has to be a landslide for a couple
Absolutely.
Of reasons. Because if
Absolutely.
It's not a landslide, they're going to steal it. If the election is close.
You might have seen, I think it's District 11 in Ohio. There's a, I saw it on Facebook, there's a young lady, she's a Republican, she's running for district seat there.
Yep.
Everybody needs to check her out. She's got a great message right there. She's African-American, and she is spot on,
yes,
telling it like it is. So everybody needs to check her out.
And we need to be supporting those people, but it's got to be a landslide, or they're going to steal it. And the other thing is, the Democrats have to be soundly repudiated, not necessarily destroyed, but repudiated, or this stuff is never going
to
stop. Because if we don't take back the House, we're going to continue the Nancy Pelosi nonsense for another 2 years.
Her, AOC, Schumer, Cory Booker, all those people are a cancer, not only to their party, to our nation.
Right.
If you don't love it, leave it.
All right.
God bless you and have a good evening, fellas.
Thanks, Kevin. No, he brings up really good points. It's got to be a landslide or they're going to steal it. And if we don't take back the House, we're going to have 2 more years of nonsense investigations. They're going to impeach. They're going to impeach him like every month.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
They're going to they're going to be articles of impeachment every month or two. They're going to impeach him again. We're not going to get anywhere. The chaos is going to continue. The only way the Democrats will reform, or even hope to reform, is they have to be totally spanked at the ballot box in November. We got to take back the House, and we got. Then they will go back, lick their wounds, and hopefully do some introspection, kind of like they did in 1972 and kick the really crazy leftists and wackadoodles, as Kevin said, to the side there. Okay, can we squeeze Mike in?
One more, real quick.
All right, Mike.
Yes, I just talked about that mask again. Like I said before, it leaves your eyes wide open. And I was told that it's like trying to top a tidal wave with a chain link fence.
Yeah. No, and that's the other part why masks are. That goes back to what we said at the beginning of the program. It doesn't seem to matter. This is a virus that has to apparently run its course, like these epidemics and pandemics do, and they're here with us too long, but they run their course, and then they're gone. We can't just hide in our bunkers like Joe. I mean, we can't all run for president like Joe Biden and hide in a bunker.
Yeah, we can't wait on a vaccine either, because AIDS still doesn't have a vaccine.
Right, and there may never be a vaccine.
That's correct.
And I don't know if
the virus will never leave. It's going to be here from now on.
Yep. Nope. I think so. It'll keep coming back.
I guess the best way to do it is to respect it, but don't fear it.
Yep.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you, Mike, for calling in. We're almost out of time. I wanted to mention one thing we didn't even get into. Sally Yates testified at Congress, and she threw Comey under the bus.
Whoa.
Big time.
Yeah.
She said she was.
Me. Point the finger.
She did. She pointed at Comey. She says, I was shocked that we were going after Michael Flynn. She even said she had directed that we stop this, that we're done with it. There's way more of that coming out. That's another reason they're in panic mode, because they know people are going to jail if Trump gets reelected. So, hey. Y'all stay cool out there and have a great week. We'll be back next week. Honey, it's time to come home.